You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll get a preview of a special WPR program where high school students get behind the microphone. First, Republican lawmakers on the state's budget writing committee voted yesterday to increase funding for Medicaid by about $590 million. The move comes as the state GOP and Democrats continue to disagree about whether to expand Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act. And the funding plan approved by the committee yesterday falls about $190 million short of the budget plan from Governor Evers. Laurel White was covering that vote with lawmakers yesterday. She's WPR's state capitol reporter. Laurel, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Rob. Thanks.
Let's start with this vote in the Joint Finance Committee. Republicans voted to increase some spending on Medicaid. What came out of this?
So this has obviously been a really big debate in the state legislature, really even before Governor Evers took office, because this Medicaid budget and particularly the Medicaid expansion were a really big part of his campaign and something that Republican lawmakers have raised concerns about for several years. Governor Walker first rejected the Medicaid expansion back in 2014, and Republican lawmakers, actually removed this Medicaid expansion from Evers' budget last month. But yesterday really saw kind of a resurgence of this debate, even though we've kind of known what Republican lawmakers were going to do. And as I said, they already took action. This was an opportunity for Democrats to kind of make that push again for the Medicaid expansion, since it was the Medicaid budget that was up yesterday. They kind of made a last-ditch effort to say, hey, we can still get this expansion in here. It's something that we think is really popular and will be really helpful for the state. The governor's asked a lot of constituents to call members of the Finance Committee to push for this, but ultimately we didn't see that happen. It was late last night. Well, not late in terms of the legislature, about 9 o'clock last night, that they voted along party lines to move forward with a different Medicaid budget, a pretty drastically different Medicaid budget than what the governor called for.
Yeah, I know state capitol reporters are generally happy to be done by 9 a.m. with votes like this. Sometimes they go
exactly
all night. Not this time, though. Well, let's pick apart the pieces here. Part of the issue is what increased funding would go toward. We'll get to that in a bit. But this Medicaid expansion that's at the center of what you were just talking about, this is the idea, right, of whether or not to take the federal money under the Affordable Care Act to help us do that in Wisconsin. Do I have that right?
Exactly. So what Governor Evers is pushing for is to accept a federal expansion of Medicaid, which she says is going to save the state about $320 million over the next 2 years, because the state will be picking, or the federal government rather, will be picking up more costs. And what he wants to do is use that $320 million to engage the state in programs that have matching federal funds or some sort of commitment of federal funds, and he says he'd be able to use that money to leverage about $1.6 billion in federal money to come into the state for a variety of initiatives. So the governor wrote all of that into his budget, that $1.6 billion, all of these programs that would be partially or fully supported by federal money. And so what the Republican-controlled Budget Committee had to do last night was take that out, essentially, and figure out what they were going to fund and what they were going to cut.
Can you spell out for us the differences in the programs now that the governor wanted to boost and now that state lawmakers, the Republicans on this budget committee, are going to boost? Where do they overlap? Where do they go in different directions?
Well, I think that there are two places that are pretty interesting in terms of where they overlap. So I'll focus on those first. The governor had pushed for an increase in nursing home reimbursement rates. Now, people who receive state health care assistance that are in nursing homes, the reimbursement rate for those nursing homes had been lagging behind what a number of other states have been doing. And a number of nursing homes have closed across the state in part because of that. So the governor wanted to increase those nursing home reimbursement rates over the next 2 years, sort of gradually. Republican lawmakers agreed with him on that and actually increased those reimbursement rates even more than the governor asked for. That was something that they pointed out yesterday. There have certainly been a number of high-profile incidents where they have reduced funding, right, from what the governor had called for. This was an instance in which they actually gave the governor more than what he wanted. A similar case is with the salary for personal care workers in Wisconsin, the amount that the state reimburses those individuals. Under the governor's plan, he would have bumped them up from their current rate to $17.24 an hour. The Republican plan is bumping them to $18.24 an hour, so a little bit more of an increase there. In terms of differences, there are quite a few. So the governor obviously had a lot of money in there that Republicans aren't using. A couple of the programs that really stuck out to me that Republicans are zeroing out, there's an early intervention program for children 1 to 3 that have been diagnosed with developmental disabilities or at high risk for developmental disabilities. That came with a pretty hefty price tag in the, upwards of $5 million. And then there was another program in the millions that was aimed at curbing tobacco use. So there are kind of a lot of those things that the governor really wanted to do, kind of new initiatives for the state with this federal money that Republicans said, nah, we don't think that it's worth it. We think taking this federal expansion is too risky. It's going to affect the private healthcare marketplace, and we're going to go ahead and forego some of these programs so we don't have to do that.
Talking to WPR State Capitol reporter Laurel White about votes in the state's big budget committee on healthcare issues and Medicaid funding. Now, Republicans have the majority in the legislature, and on that committee, Democrats voted against the plan. They weren't happy with what went on. I want to give a listen to State Senator John Erpenbach yesterday at the Capitol.
I want you to think about this for a sec. We're still going to have Medicaid programs here in Wisconsin, but it's going to be paid for with general purpose revenue. Keep in mind, Wisconsin taxpayers also pay federal taxes. So we're paying twice for something we're getting once.
And that's been a big case from Wisconsin Democrats that, hey, Wisconsin taxpayers, you're paying federal taxes, so why don't we take full advantage of this opportunity under the Affordable Care Act?
Absolutely. That was a really frequent argument from Democrats on the committee yesterday. I think that's a message that they're latching onto, especially in kind of this late stage of the debate. They're saying Republicans say they're being fiscally responsible by not taking this Medicaid expansion, but they're arguing, hey, how fiscally responsible is it? How accountable is it to taxpayers if you're telling them you are paying both state and federal taxes, but those federal tax dollars that could be coming back into Wisconsin through this Medicaid expansion, you're not willing to take?
The governor has said his increases in health spending would come from, again, using that federal Medicaid money. And as you mentioned, those matching opportunities. What have Republicans said about how they would pay for the increases that they're proposing?
So basically, Republicans are working within the framework of the existing state budget. So existing state revenues, things that we were counting on having to begin with kind of without this expansion. Republicans have the option to do what's called continue from base in the budget. So as we move through this process, kind of the behind-the-scenes staff will present options to them. Do you want to keep spending as it is? Do you want to take the governor's proposal? Or do you want to do something a little bit different? And in the majority of cases, I think it's safe to say they're doing something that's a little bit different. They're not keeping things the way they were under the last state budget because, as you know, things change over time. We've gotten more money rolled over from the last budget than we thought we were going to have, so things are looking up in that regard. But they're not quite ready to embrace that revenue stream, that Medicaid revenue stream in particular, from the governor, as well as another thing we've talked a lot about, an income tax increase. They haven't agreed with the governor on how they're going to, or an income tax cut rather, how they're going to line up with the governor on that.
And before we run out of time, Laurel, I want to talk about a related issue on Medicaid. There's a new effort from the Evers administration to boost enrollment in health insurance plans. What are state officials looking to do here?
So this is a coalition that the governor rolled out just a few days ago, talking about how the state can sort of provide more information to individuals who aren't signed up for insurance right now that might be eligible for Medicaid in Wisconsin, Badger Care, or might be eligible for subsidized plans on the Affordable Care Act marketplace. Essentially, what they want to do is make sure that individuals out there who don't have insurance now know what their options are and how to pursue those. And Republican lawmakers talked a little bit about this yesterday, actually, as they were pushing back on the Medicaid expansion arguments from Democrats. They said, hey, we think Governor Evers is actually kind of getting our message a little bit here and going down a little bit more of the path of, hey, let's use what resources we have right now. Let's direct people to options that are currently available on the marketplace rather than taking the additional federal funds and looking at it that way.
We'll leave it there for now. Laurel, thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Rob.
That's Laurel White, WPR State Capitol reporter. She was with us today to talk about Republican lawmakers' approval of close to $590 million in new Medicaid spending, but continuing to reject the idea of accepting federal Medicaid partnerships. And a program that's aiming to boost enrollment for those qualified for BadgerCare and plans through healthcare.gov. Coming up, we'll hear about a WPR project that brings the voices of Wisconsin high schoolers onto the airwaves. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we talk to a film critic about his picks out of this summer's crop of new movies. Right now, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a conversation between two musicians.
There are two students at Monona Grove Liberal Arts Charter School that are both really talented, but the style of music they play is so different. Or is it? They recently talked with one another about their craft.
Hi, I'm Matthew Schlafer. I am a singer-songwriter. I play the guitar, the mandolin, the saxophone, a little bit of piano.
I'm Simon Sarah Collins. I don't play any instruments, but I do write my own songs and rap and sing a bit, and I engineer, so, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so, Matt, can you explain your creative process?
Well, okay, so my creative process is kind of like multiple things. It's like I start off with like a little like snippet, like a little phrase, either a phrase or a lick of music. Most of the time, it's like a chorus part where it's just kind of like a lead vocal with some rhythm guitar. And then what I'll do is I'll add more of a verse or a different chord structure to go along with it. And then I'll start like producing it on my computer and like layering tracks and such. And I can get a pretty good sounding result from that. What about you, Simon?
Yeah, I found a lot of similarities between our creative process. If we're talking about writing, I take phrases from like what my friends will say or something I'll just think of, and then that'll usually stem into a whole song, and then I will sit and listen to a beat for like a long time before I actually get on it, because I want to like practice my verse over it, and if I feel like I'm ready to record, then I'll just try to get on the mic and just do my best.
Jump when my phone beep, hair flooded and it's so deep.
I write in a bathtub. It feels like a just the kind of ambience that comes from like the water dripping. I write so well when it's raining outside, so like it was pouring rain and I wanted to write so bad, but I had to go to work, so I was just like typing to my like phone as fast as I could, like, I got ideas that are coming out. So it's like it actually depends on like where I am and how I'm feeling.
I'm just running from my vices like they were active shooters. My TV static moving.
What kind of energy do you put into your music?
It's a good question, actually. My energy is very, very like upbeat. Very upbeat. Like, you know how like you have folk songs that people kind of hopscotch look and dance around it, and they just like swing and dance like square dancing? Yeah. It kind of has that vibe. I don't know. How about you? What about your energy?
It really depends on the song, because my music ranges from incredibly aggressive energy to like very, very calm, like soothing energy. So
try calm breathing.
If you don't have your own sound, then people won't want to listen to you, really, if there isn't one thing that makes you stand out. So for some people it's the voice, others it's like their production.
Nice talking to you, Simon. This was really awesome.
Yeah, you too.
Good being here.
Yeah, for sure.
That was Matthew Schlafer and Simon Terrell Collins, two musicians at MG21 High School in Monona. You can hear more stories from the high school students all week long. Go to wisconsinlife.org to learn more. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
Now you'll be able to listen to more stories like the one we just heard in a special hour of Wisconsin Life this weekend. It brings together a school year's worth of ideas and projects from students at the MG21 High School in Monona. Classroom Frequency is airing here on the Ideas Network this Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock and on Tuesday, June 11th at 6 o'clock p.m. It will also air on our news and classical music network, and you'll be able to find it at wisconsinlife.org. Wisconsin Life producer Maureen McCollum headed up this project. Maureen, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
How did you get started working with the students at MG21?
I got started with the students there. You know, when I first took on Wisconsin Life, I really wanted to start incorporating younger voices on our airwaves. And I made a connection with the folks at Monona Grove Liberal Arts Charter School, also known as MG21, and just asked if I could work with them and their students. And here we are.
What were some of the first steps in working with them to put together their own radio or whatever we want to call them, podcast pieces?
Sure. So I played a lot of different examples for them, different audio examples. So we listened to StoryCorps type interviews because I figured a lot of the students would want to interview either their friends or family members or coworkers. We also listen to some youth radio pieces. There's some great things that people are doing in youth radio across the country, and I thought stories like that they could relate to. We also listen to some This I Believe essays, which, of course, was started by Edward R. Murrow back in the, I believe, the 40s or the 50s, and there's still some stations that carry that on. So just ways that students can relate with some of the audio and just easy things that they could do as beginners.
They got to pursue their own interests, right? What was the range of interests the students tackled?
They sure did. And man, they're all over the place. So there are a lot of students who are interested in poetry. So you'll hear there's one poet in particular, Coyote Johnson. She recorded a handful of poems for us. We also had some students interested in military history, in music, as we heard before, students who are interested in just exploring their family relationships more.
Let's get a taste of a couple of things. As you mentioned, we just heard about some music. One of the students, Harrison, really likes political and military history. He said it might lead him to pursue a job literally in digging up history. Here's a listen to what he had to say.
What's interesting to me right now is there are groups of people who go out to the forest where battles are fought and stuff like that, and they go and they just go with metal detectors and they dig up these old helmets and stuff like that. It's kind of like a really noble thing because some of these people out here aren't scavengers. They're people who go out there and metal detect and they try to find the bodies of soldiers who've been missing to provide some closure for families. And they found this pilot who'd been missing for like 70 years. And since the cockpit hadn't really broken that much, his identity capsule had been preserved and they're able to find, oh, this is the guy we've been looking for.
Can you tell us a little more about Harrison and what he pursued in his story?
Harrison is so amazing. So Harrison, as you heard, he's interested in military history. I discovered his interest in this because his desk at school is covered in old military helmets from like the 1920s. And so I interviewed him about that. We talked a little more about his interest. He then also told me he might have a slight interest in media. So to prepare him for a possible career in media or just pursuing his interest more, we connected him with a veteran in Dane County, Bob Cook. And so Harrison did his first interview with a veteran, and they just talked about his service in Vietnam. And it was pretty amazing. Harrison actually went on to say that it was his favorite moment in high school.
Wow.
Which is so amazing to hear, right?
And then you mentioned Coyote and the poetry. A few of her poems are featured in the special. Here's a listen to one of them.
That snow. The smell brings me back to sleepy mornings in your car with gummy treats you purchased for me from Walmart. It was my reliable breakfast for so long, I took advantage that was wrong. You're worth more than gummy bears and Twizzler hairs and every other gummy breakfast we had in your comfy car chairs.
What kind of things was Coyote interested in writing about with her poetry?
So Coyote was really interested in just exploring her own feelings, some issues that she works through. And she's a very talented artist. So not only does she do poetry, she writes music. So if you go online later this week, you'll be able to hear one of her original songs. She's also an artist. So she draws these really intricate sketches that are really amazing. She always has her notebook with her. So she's constantly creating.
What does the final product end up looking like after all the work that you and the students did?
Right. So we'll have stories playing this week on Wisconsin Life. During the regular segments, but then this weekend you'll be able to hear an hour-long show featuring many of the student stories. That'll be on Classroom Frequency, also airing early next week. And then if you go online, there's even more student stories. All that stuff will be posted throughout the week. So there's only a few there now. More and more will keep trickling in, so you'll be able to hear just a wide array of stories from these students.
Looking forward to hearing more. Maureen, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks, Rob.
Maureen McCollum is the producer behind the Wisconsin Life special, Classroom Frequency, Student Voices from Wisconsin. You can hear more. It'll air on the Ideas Network this Saturday afternoon at 4 and then next Tuesday evening at 6. Coming up, we get a roundup of new summer movie picks. You can tell us what you've seen and what you're looking forward to this year. Start right now. Email ideas@wpr.org. or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page, report back on a movie you've seen, or ask Reggie the Real Critic what he recommends. I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up tomorrow at 6 on The Morning Show, the World Health Organization says many people overdo it on video games, and that can be bad news for our health. Kate Archer-Kent talks to an expert on teen mental health. That's tomorrow morning at 6 here on the Ideas Network. Now, here's the situation facing our heroes. Half the people on the planet have been vaporized. Only a few are left who have any chance of reversing the global catastrophe. Can they pull it off? That's where we've landed for the start of the massive Marvel Disney blockbuster Avengers Endgame.
If we do this, we'd be going in shorthanded.
Yeah, you mean because they killed all our friends?
We owe this to everyone who's not in this room to try.
And while the epic runtime for Avengers Endgame is just over 3 hours, that still leaves some time to see other movies this summer. Chicago-based film critic Reggie Ponder is back with us, a.k.a. Reggie, the Real Critic. Reggie, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, Rob, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Glad to be back.
Now, I'm going to get out ahead of you here, Reggie. You're going to ask me what movies I've seen. And I'm going to hem and haw. I haven't seen a lot lately, and here's my rule. Why am I going to see a movie if I haven't heard from Reggie about it first?
Oh, there you go. There you go. That's a good one. So you start off, Rob, with the big blockbuster of the year so far, which, wow, I mean, just doing a phenomenal at the box office, and which it was the Avengers. And, you know, if you haven't seen it yet, everybody saw the Avengers.
Yeah, my kids saw it without me. They got a 7 a.m. showing the weekend it opened. That was too early for Rob.
So for the year, they don't really count that movie as a summer film,
right?
But it really did kick off the summer blockbusters. And then I'm just going to list a number of films just really quickly because I know our time will be short. But we have Aladdin, John Wick, Avengers Endgame, Rocket Man, Ma, and Booksmart. They're all out currently right now, and that's been the beginning of that summer season. Anyone that you want to kind of delve into a little bit there?
I want to hit a bunch of those, Reggie, and let's start with this John Wick thing. This is John Wick 3. It's a franchise. It's got Keanu Reeves. I did not see one or two. People are. It seems like something I might like. High speed action, nothing but action, right?
It is high. Yeah, you don't even need me. It's high speed action, nothing but action. What I'll tell you about this one is that do you need to see number one and two to enjoy number three? No. But if I were you, I would. I'd watch one and two, and particularly number two, because it really helps you understand some of the things that are happening in three. And my only thing about this, it is very violent. And so if you think the person is dead, no, they didn't. They made sure the person was dead. They killed the person four or five times. So it's very violent. So if you don't like the violence kind of high speed thing, then this will not quite be for you.
And the whole plot, as I understand it, before we move on, everybody wants to kill John Wick. I just described basically the plot of the whole movie, right?
Everybody wants to kill John Wick. There's a bounty on his head, and it's a hefty one at that. And some of this stuff is so slick. It looks so good, and it's a fun movie. So if you like that kind of movie, I did. I enjoyed it.
Now, here's a very different kind of movie. Let's give a listen to a little bit of the live-action version of Aladdin.
Hey, can you make me a prince?
There is a lot of gray area in Make Me a Prince. I could just make you a prince.
Oh, no.
Y'all see my palace?
So we have a live action of a much-loved Disney animated movie, Aladdin. They picked a pretty prominent actor to take over the Robin Williams role.
Yeah, they did. This is what I'll say, is that I cringe to think that you would remake this. I think we've talked about this before, Rob. I am so tired of us remaking all these movies. Now, the key is, does it work? And overall, Aladdin does work. Will Smith's character has to grow on you over time, and once you kind of get there in the middle, you've bought into it and you like it. But in the beginning, it's a little rocky there. Another thing that Disney does is that Disney doesn't get too imaginative with the music, because you're hearing music from some of the other movies, and you would hope that Disney would expand beyond that. And so that was somewhat disappointing. But the two main characters in this movie carry it out, and they have really good chemistry.
Talking to Reggie, the Real Critic, a.k.a. Reggie Ponder, looking at the summer movie season. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you seen any of the big or little movies yet? Or is there one coming out that you want Reggie's take on? Call in at 800-642-1234. This Elton John movie looks pretty flashy. A Rocket Man. Is this one you've checked out yet, Reggie?
I have seen it, and I will tell you, if you love Elton John and you know all the songs, this is more than a perfect movie for you. It really goes from the beginning all the way to stardom, and it goes into how the problems and the trials and tribulations he went through as a child and how that impacted what he did as an adult. And if for people who don't know, it's not a spoiler, but he got hooked on drugs and alcohol, and the movie actually starts with him as he goes into a rehab session to talk about his problems, and then it flashes back. The only thing that bothered me just a little bit, well, that I didn't like a lot, was that in the middle of it, you'll hear a couple of songs where they'll go into make it kind of like a musical, and I didn't love it, but I appreciated it because it's Elton John and it was a little different. But the songs stick in your head, and I don't want to sing for you, but I got a couple of these songs stuck in my head right now.
They are catchy tunes. And I've read, I don't know if this is true, that Elton John doesn't always come out looking like a nice guy. He can come off, even in the movie about him, as kind of a jerk sometimes.
He doesn't, and that's the really good thing about it. He doesn't come off as looking as a nice guy, but it does show that he did try to make amends with most of the people there. There'll be some that he can't get back to, but that he did try, I guess through therapy, try to make amends. This is a good movie. If you like Elton John, this is one to see. And then I'd say for people who don't like Elton John or don't know they like Elton John, because you might not know that those were his songs, you should check it out as well.
All right, now here's a very different one. This one, a little scary. Listen to, I think it's from the trailer from Ma.
There's something off about Ma.
Seriously? She's homeless.
And her basement's pretty much the best drinking spot in town.
We can't go up there.
Shh.
This one looks interesting to me, Reggie. Tell us about Ma.
It is interesting. So you have these four young teenagers who can't buy alcohol. They stop her, ask her, hey, can you buy us some alcohol? She does. And then all of a sudden, a little later, she comes back after that incident and buys them some alcohol again, invites them over her house, and her house becomes the party house. Now, firstly, come on. I'm not going over this lady's house that I don't know. Well, really? Seriously? And so you know you're talking to the screen saying, no, don't do it, don't do it.
Don't go in that basement.
Do not go in that basement. But come to find out that she's connected to those kids and their parents, and there's some stuff that happened in her childhood, and they make it all work together in some kind of way. But it's scary enough to say, get out. Just get out. And for people who might like a different type of scary movie, this one works as well.
Now, does this, and if it's a spoiler to answer this question, just let me know, does this get into, like, supernatural horror, or is this just, like, potentially could happen real thriller horror?
Potentially could happen real horror. So did you hear me say get out the house?
Yep.
Get out the house.
Done,
right?
And done. I mean, but you said, you know, would teens really do this? You know, I mean, sometimes teens and judgment, you know.
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure. But it is one of those where you're talking to the screen, just hollering at these characters, knowing that they can't hear you. And you're saying, please, no, don't go. Don't do it.
All right. And one more. We've got a little clip from, and this one I keep hearing good things about. I know nothing about it except for what you're about to tell me. Let's hear a little bit of the movie Booksmart.
We have to go to a party tonight.
What?
Nobody knows that we are fun. We didn't party because we wanted to focus on school and get into good colleges.
And it worked.
But the irresponsible people who partied also got into those colleges.
All right, tell me about Booksmart, Reggie.
So this one is that there's these two young ladies in high school, and they basically found out that they missed all the fun. They worked more and played less. So now they're figuring out, we need to cram in this really short period of time and being one night, 4 years of having fun into one night. And I think it really resonates with young people because we've heard this a lot, and I've even heard some of the programs where you're interviewing people where are our young kids having fun, or are they growing up too fast? And so this kind of addresses that in one night. Now, you know that means it's going to be a wild and crazy time. I have not seen this one, but my 20-year-old daughter, who was really looking forward to seeing this, she really loved it. And I think as of now, it has a 97% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, of which I'm one of the critics there.
It seems like every generation gets this last blowout before high school is over movie. I remember there were these movies in the 80s when I was in high school, and then you had like Super Bad. I don't know how long ago that, 10 years, I'll call it. I don't know. And now this, it seems like every generation wants this kind of movie, Reggie.
Absolutely. And what these movies do is that there are all these nuances from the music to the language, to the dress and all of that. So you do need these kind of movies. And I don't get tired of them because I think they are specific to that particular time period. Even though they might be addressing a similar issue, I think they work. And I'm in fact probably going to go see Booksmart this weekend.
We're talking to film critic Reggie Ponder about the movies out this summer or soon to come out this summer. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. If there's one you've seen, you want to make a plug for it or against it, you can call in. Or is there a movie you're excited about seeing this summer? Or is there something on your radar you want to hear more from Reggie about? And have your movie-going habits changed in the era of streaming? Just think, I'll watch it later on a DVD, if you still do that, or maybe stream it. Call 800-642-1234. Slap it into the Betamax when it comes out. 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about movies out this summer with film critic Reggie Ponder, also known as Reggie the Real Critic. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What have you seen? What are you excited to see? What do you need an opinion on before you see it? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll go to your calls now. Dan is with us in Iron River. Dan, hello.
Hello. How are you guys today?
Good. What do you want to share?
The one movie that I wanted to bring up was that I thought was the sleeper of all times that got just slipped in under the radar at the theaters was Tolkien, the biopic movie about J.R. Tolkien. It showed character development. It showed his life experiences and then how he developed language. It was fantastic.
And this was, was this a documentary style or this was actually like you said, a biopic?
Yeah, it was a biopic. I mean, it was fantastic. It had everything. It had a war movie. He was in World War One. It was fantastic. Huh.
Dan, thanks a lot. Enthusiastic vote there, Reggie, for Tolkien. I remember hearing that was coming out, and I guess it is out now.
Yeah, and this is one that when we got ready to we're going to get ready to talk about some of the smaller films. I'm really glad that he mentioned that. Is that some of these smaller films don't get as much play because the summer is a big time for revenues at the box office. So these smaller movies really just hit certain people. So that's a good one, and I'm glad that he mentioned that.
Thanks a lot for that call, Reggie. Before we go back to our callers, is there something under the radar that you think should be on our radars?
Wow, under the radar. I don't know if there's, under the radar for me. I'm not really sure if I have one under the radar, but I do want to see this movie. Why am I drawing a blank? I do want to see the movie Yesterday, and that's not an under the radar one. But we just got through talking about Rocket Man, and from a music standpoint, even the premise that people forgot about the Beatles, I can't wait to see that movie Yesterday.
Yeah, I saw the trailer. So the Beatles, everybody forgets about them or they disappear, except one guy, a musician, and he recreates their songs for the rest of the world.
Right, so that's one I want to see, and I guess from a under the radar is Late Night is a movie that I definitely want to see, and that's a film where where you have Emma Thompson playing this great late night host, and she's about to lose her job, and she needs some help in terms of keeping her job. And it's a smaller film, but I think that it's going to be a funny film, and it'll appeal to a lot of different people, and it actually might be a breakout film.
Let's go back to our callers now. Casey is with us in Rice Lake. Casey, hi.
Hi. So in the 70s at UWEC, we all love Shaft, and they're making a remake of Shaft, and the trailer looks great, but I don't want to be disappointed. What about Shaft?
Casey, yeah, Casey's doing the song there for us, Reggie.
Yeah. I am in real anticipation for Shaft because they're going to have three generations here. And I'm wondering if this really will live up to a Richard Roundtree, because if you look at the trailers, he makes a cameo appearance in this one. So I just wonder how good this will be as well. And I'm with her. I don't want to be disappointed here. I am looking forward to it. It was one of the movies on my list. So, yeah.
And who's the star in that one?
That's Samuel Jackson.
Yeah, and I kind of feel like if they hired anybody else in this current generation of actors to try to remake Shaft, it would have been kind of disappointing.
Absolutely. So we'll see. We'll see. I don't want to be disappointed, so I can't wait to see it, but please don't disappoint me with a Richard Roundtree. He's the icon.
Casey, thanks for that call. We're just talking about Shaft and other movies coming out this summer. Reggie Ponder is with us. Reggie, the Real Critic, sharing his picks, the movies he's looking out for, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Landon is with us in Dodgeville. Landon, hi.
Hi, thanks for having me on. I was just going to go back to your subject you were talking about earlier where you were discussing going to see movies in the era of streaming, and I found that when I am balancing which movies I want to make the investment to see in a movie theater, I will much more look at, is this going to be an experiential event as far as audio and visual stimulation? Not necessarily, it doesn't even have to be an appealing movie in regards to the plot line or the subject matter, but is it something that seems like it would be something fun to at least go out and experience on the big screen and the big speakers? So I just wanted to include that as something that I take into account when I decide if I want to go and pay the money to go see a movie on screen or wait until it comes out on TV.
Landon, thank you so much for sharing that. And I'm kind of there with him, Reggie. Like, Avengers, yeah, I know that's going to be different on the small screen versus the big screen. A more talky type of movie, maybe not so much.
Yeah, I think he hit it absolute, the nail on the head here, is that a movie like Late Night, people might see that at home, might. A movie like Long Shot. But John Wick, the stimulation that you get from seeing that on the big screen is wow. Godzilla would fall into that, and you're right, Avengers as well. All those Avengers movies, you kind of want to see those on a big screen. So I would agree with them.
Thanks a lot for that call. We'll go now to Jim with us in Madison. Jim, hi.
Hey, I saw a poster for a film called The Dead Don't Die. It's got, looks like a great cast. It's got Tom Waits, Iggy Pop, Steve Buscemi, a bunch of other well-known names. I want to know anything about that film.
Jim, thanks for the call. I've seen this trailer. It's Jim Jarmusch, the director, and it's got like everybody in it. He just listed a few. I saw the trailer. It's
Adam Driver. You got Bill Murray in this one. Yeah.
Frances McDormand, was she in? I don't know. But so it's like Jim Jarmusch's take on a zombie movie, it looks like.
And this was one, when I sent you the list, this was one on my list, The Dead Don't Die. So I want to see it. It looks interesting. And the people that are in it, as you said, when you have all of these folks, you're saying this is going to be an interesting one. And in fact, I think, Rob, when you say one of the things that might fall under the radar, this was probably my pick right here.
Thanks for that call. We'll go now to Ryan in Black Earth. Ryan, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to tell us about, Ryan?
Well, I just have kind of a fun fact in regards to the John Wick franchise. I've met the actual John Wick. He's a 90-some-year-old fellow that lives in Mazamani, Wisconsin, and owns a post-frame design company. His grandson wrote the screenplay for all three movies.
And he got his name from Grandpa?
Yep. Yeah, John Wick is a 90-something-year-old man.
Interesting, Ryan. Thank you so much for sharing that. I didn't know the John Wick franchise. Now I got to see some of these. It has a Mazamani, Wisconsin connection, Reggie. Learn something new every day.
There you go. I know we're kind of running out of time. You got another call?
Nope. Yeah, I want to give you a shot, Reggie, to hit us with a couple more.
So at the end of the day, there are a number of movies that are coming out. Dark Phoenix, which is an X-Men movie.
Right.
I'm going to see that tonight. You got Toy Story, which I'm very interested in seeing, and I'm not interested in seeing, meaning that I think they did a really good job with that franchise, and do you need to see another one? But since they're making another one, I do want to see what happens there. Spider-Man and The Lion King is the movie that I'm hoping that they don't disappoint me on, because the cast is outstanding. But what will Disney do with this? Will they just play it safe and give me the same old, or will they make it different and exciting? And then finally, in terms of the big blockbusters, is the Fast and the Furious.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see that one. It's interesting that they're going to have this spinoff called Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw. I'm intrigued. I really, really want to see that.
Dwayne Johnson and Jason Statham, like, there's it can only be so bad with those two in it, I feel like.
That's right. So I'm really interested in that. And then finally, Wine Country, I'd like to see that movie. I don't know if you know anything about that one. It's a smaller movie where a bunch of ladies, it's an Amy Poehler movie, a bunch of ladies go out together and a lot of things get crushed more than grapes, feelings and all that stuff. So I want to see that as well. And then there's a movie called The Kitchen. There are a lot of movies coming out, big and small. I really hope that people still go out to the movies, because the experience is good, even just with people and enjoying it. I know streaming is in, but go out and have a movie. Do that for me.
We'll leave it there. Thanks to Reggie Ponder, also known as Reggie the Real Critic. I'll have to take a sabbatical to see all these movies. Tomorrow on Central Time, there's a back and forth among congressional Democrats about impeachment proceedings. We'll look at how impeachment works, and we'll talk to the author of the book, How to Do Nothing. Those and more coming up tomorrow on Central Time. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m., it's The Morning Show with Kate Archer Kent. Tomorrow at 7, I'm sorry, but do you ever get accused of apologizing too much? And then you apologize for apologizing? Kate talks to linguist Deborah Tannen about the culture of apologies and why women often end up in no-win situations. Tomorrow at 7 on The Morning Show. Coming up next, it's news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. Then we'll talk with an Appleton man who wanted to get to know his neighbors, so he set up a block party for the whole community. I'm Rob Ferret. There's more to come on Central Time here on the Ideas Network.